Welcome to the Animal Control Report live from the Texas Animal Control Association. This is the number 49th. That's a hard.
It is.
That's 49th year.
That is correct.
Of the association's annual conference. So I'm here with our co-host,
Ashley Bishop.
And we have our guest, the president of TACA,
Jamie Cantrell.
Jamie Cantrell. Yes. We've had Jamie on a couple times as a normal guest, like when you called in, and also we've had you here at TACA.
Every year that we've been here.
This is true. These ones are fun, live, face-to-face. Bishop can actually see me and hit me.
Yes,
which I'm
yes,
very,
he can. Remember that.
Which yeah. I'm really, really afraid of. But I'll just focus on Jamie because he's the important one here.
Your knee is right near me. Just remember that.
I also have an injured knee. It's fine. So, Jamie, those that may know, may not know, like, just give, I think, maybe like a quick overview of TACA and how you're able to keep, like, every year put these amazing conferences on.
Well, TACA is the oldest and largest state association in the country. So we actually were born before NACA even. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've been around forever. We were started by a group of veterinarians in down at Texas A&M is where TACA originated, and you know, they did it to start providing training for animal control officers all the way back in 1974. And you know, after a while, animal control officers took over and we started doing it for ourselves, and we've been doing it every year since then. You know, it is a lot of work to put on a conference like this. I will say that it takes a lot of effort by a lot of people in order to put something together that you hope everybody's going to enjoy, but also learn something from. And, you know, I'm the one that, you know, as you both know, I'm the one that goes out and finds the speakers and puts the conference stuff like that together. And that in and of itself is difficult, but I love looking for new and different ideas. Because I want people to hear every perspective that you can, every point of view. And, you know, then you might hear something that you think, hey, it doesn't exactly work for me, but some of it does. Or you might say, okay, well, I've only ever heard this other one side, and now I get to hear the other side of it.
Yeah.
So it's important that people don't, you know, kind of work, live, grow up in a vacuum. You know, they need to be able to hear those differing perspectives. And that's one of the things that I love to be able to do is find speakers that can do that for us. So
awesome.
So you've got quite the number of people here tonight.
Yes, we do.
If anybody can hear the music in the background, I don't know if that's picking up, but like, we are legit live. What do you got to this year that you think is new and up and coming that is a big deal to talk about?
Well, I mean, I'll be perfectly honest. I'm excited about both of y'all's classes that we have coming on, and I'm not just saying that because you're both sitting here.
I am not within striking distance
no,
of
no,
Jamie.
No, no, I don't have to worry. She's going to hit Daniel way before she gets to me. You know, I am excited about both of y'all's classes, you know, simply because I do think that it is something that's important for people to hear different perspectives, like I said. And we also, you said we have a lot of people here. This is the biggest conference we've ever had. We have over 185 people here, which is, I mean, just even 10 years ago, we were happy when we got to about 125. And so to go up, you know, by 50% over that, this is our biggest conference that we've had to date. And next year is our 50th, and we're hoping it's going to be even bigger. So, you know, we already have stuff in the works for that we're planning on. And, you know, it is something that we're really, I'm going to look to try to, you know, push the envelope a little more. And, you know, just like what we have tonight, the fun stuff. We want to have fun stuff, but we also want to make sure that people are learning and giving good opportunities to meet each other, socialize, and network together as well.
So speaking to next year's conference, you said it's the 50th. It's going to be the biggest. But do you have to be in Texas to attend this conference?
Absolutely not. You can be any state that you want to come from. If you want to come down here and hang out with us and come to our conference, you're welcome to. If you need to get approval for CE hours for your state or, you know, whatever, I don't know, different states do it differently. If you will contact me, I will do whatever I can to help you get everything approved. So it's not just a fun vacation. It's also something that you can, you know, get your CE hours and stuff for if you need those.
Perfect.
That's great because, you know, we have listeners all throughout the country and even some out of the country, which is awesome. So for them to be able to have access to this training is really, I think, incredible. And you know, I'm grateful. I really am. It's super humbling to be able to come back to this conference year after year. And I'll be honest, Jamie, like, because of what you just said about you looking for new ideas, you inspire me to make new classes because I want to continue to come back here. The people are so fun. You know, the friends that I've made in the time that I come here. I think the overall thing that I've seen and the organization that you have, the ability to really bring together this large amount of people is really neat. So not only I think from a level of people coming to see the classes and educate, but also people coming to see how you operate, how the organization, how TACA puts all this stuff on, right? I think that's really inspiring too. So people can then see and kind of have that, like, maybe even comparison to their own agency. And everybody does it a little bit different. You know, I again, think it's really cool to have that experience, and it's really humbling in that aspect to get to witness these. All right, so enough like business talk. Before actually we move forward, I do want to mention one other thing about the 50th annual TACA annual conference. I said annual twice.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you? You're right next to me. That's not going to be here in San Marcos, though, right?
No, next year we will be in San Antonio in a resort. It's actually a very upscale, nice location. You know, we decided that for our 50th anniversary, we're going to go all out and go to a little bit nicer place than what we normally do. And it's we've kind of made the joke that we think it's going to be, with all the animal control officers coming in, it's kind of going to be like that scene in Caddyshack when they let the caddies go to the pool. So that's going to be us taking over the resort there. They're not going to know what hit them. So that's what we're going to do.
Let's go.
All right.
I don't know if we're actually going to go. I mean, I want to go, but we'll see.
Right.
We have to get accepted. So we'll see. All right. Now it's rapid fire. We're going to do rapid fire questions with Jamie Cantrell and our host, Ashley Bishop. You have to jump in here. It can't be all me because I got questions. First off, favorite movie?
Seven.
Ooh, it's a good movie.
What the hell movie is that?
You've never seen Seven?
You've never seen Seven?
Bro.
Oh, man.
I've even seen Seven.
That's impressive because you've never seen anything.
I know. And it's
favorite band?
Metallica.
Yes. That's inspiring because I actually was thinking about this for my class tomorrow and I might just put it in there now. So thank you for that reminder. Yeah. There's a Metallica thing that I wanted to add. Anyway, okay. Favorite meal?
Oh, man, that's hard because I eat everything. I love to eat, so I don't really know. I love barbecue. Good Texas barbecue.
Texas.
You can pretty much, as long as it's good stuff, you can't go wrong, so it's going to be good.
Okay.
Favorite state?
Texas, obviously.
Have you been to other states?
I've only been to, I can say that. I was born in Texas. I've only gone outside of Texas a few times. So it's not something where I can say I've been all over the country. So one thing I do love about Texas is that we have pretty much everything. You got mountains, you got beaches, you got deserts, you got some forest areas. So it's pretty much everything.
Yeah, but how long does it actually take you to get to?
Oh, it's going to take you a long time to get to all these places.
So does it really count as one state having everything?
That's what it is. We got it all. So we had to spread out until we fit everything in. So.
And you have Buc-ee's. So.
Yeah, we do have Buc-ee's. That is something as well.
Don't even get me started on Buc-ee's because I'm very confused by the Buc-ee's because Wisconsin has Buc-ee Badger.
It's different.
But it's Buc-ee.
It's the same character.
There might be a trademark violation somewhere going on. We don't know.
There might be because I was very confused when I went to Buc-ee's for the first time today.
All right. If you could own any car, no matter what year, and it could be like pristine, what vehicle would it be?
A 1964 Chevy Impala.
Nice.
Wow. That's very good.
What color would that be?
That would be the seafoam blue.
Ooh.
That they have and with white leather interior. So.
Okay.
And you say it's very specific. That's actually the car that my father had whenever he was
cool
in high
school.
Yeah, so that was it was always his favorite car. It's always a car that I've loved. So
that's a cool car.
Yeah.
You know what? We have to go back to basics. Favorite animal?
That one's hard too because I have so many that I love. I mean, ones on land, ones in the sea, so stuff like that. I love tigers. Mm-hmm. I've dealt with a few in my
Carol.
That's why she got. That's why she was here a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Carol Baskins was here with us, and I've actually been to their sanctuary that they had in Florida. Oh, it was cool. A very nice place. It was
all you cool cats and kittens.
That's right.
Check out that episode.
Yeah.
Call back.
Yeah.
Look at that. She's plugging old episodes. This is how you host people.
I actually fought with Joe Exotic before Carol did. So nice. Yeah, that's how
long
I've been
doing this. Story. I got to hear that.
Well, you know, the first shelter I worked at was the Humane Society of North Texas in Fort Worth, and we were the only facility in the area that had an exotic animal holding area. We had it specifically built to be able to hold like bears, lions, tigers, stuff like that. And so anybody around here that got possession of one in some way would call us, and we would provide housing for it. And at the time, Joey Schriebvogel had his operation in Oklahoma. And every time that we got something like that, he would be calling us and saying, I want to take it. Bring it to me. I want it. I want it. I'll come pick it up. You know, stuff like that. We knew of him because he was selling mountain lion cubs at a feed store in a little town called Dalworthington Gardens.
Wow.
Here is the Tiger King in real life, ladies and gents.
Yeah. So, you know, I was dealing with him a long time. Like I said, before he was Joe Exotic, he was Joey Schriebvogel, and, you know, been having to deal with him. And it was selling mountain lion cubs out of a freaking feed store.
So yes. Here, come get your chicken scratch and a mountain lion?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
it wasn't illegal by that city's ordinances. They didn't have anything that said you couldn't possess, exotic animals. Tigers, lions, tigers. It wasn't prohibited by state law at the time, so it was perfectly legal what he was doing. It was kind of a loophole because it's this little small city that's completely surrounded by Fort Worth and Arlington. They're just landlocked in there, but they had their own ordinances and it was allowed there.
Okay, but the big question is, did you actually send him anything?
Nope, because I knew he was crazy.
And did she kill her husband?
Stop. We're not doing that. We've had her on the show.
It's already been determined she didn't. They found him. Shut up.
I know, but she's a friend of the show, too.
I know.
Carol, we apologize on behalf of Bishop. I feel like I have to apologize for Bishop more than she apologizes for me, which is crazy.
I would like to point out the fact that you have never apologized for me, and I also just said that they actually found the husband, and so she is in the clear.
Ladies and gentlemen, she is about to hit me with her drink. I don't know what's going on here. I'm getting kind of scared. Jamie, when you reflect on all of this, as far as like the conferences and being involved in the board, what do you think will be your biggest takeaway from TACA and such?
I think that for me, it's something that shows that whenever we all kind of come together and, you know, you put aside the differences, even for a little bit, you know, you come to a conference and you just put aside everything, you're here to, you know, network, you're here to have fun, you're here to learn, and everybody's kind of doing the same things, that you really can accomplish a lot. I mean, you get to where you can communicate with people on that kind of human basis that we a lot
what?
Of times...
What? We're humans?
Yeah, I know. Amazingly enough. But you lose a lot of that, I think, whenever people, you know, their emotions are running, when they're all mad because, you know, you're doing something different than what they think you should be doing. And you know, we all forget that we're all humans, you know, and we can communicate, we can talk it out, we can work together as long as we actually try, so.
Can you give us a goal?
A goal for TACA?
For TACA.
Right now, my goal is for us to get through this conference without us having any more major catastrophes. That's the first goal. And then from there, I want to for us to spend the next year planning and putting together the absolute best conference that has ever been thrown by any state organization. So
50 years is I don't know what the 50-year anniversary gift is. You know how they have like diamond and stuff like that, but... Whatever it is, TACA is deserving of that.
We'll have to look that up and see. We'll tell everybody that's what you have to bring is some sort of gold or diamond gift in order
throw
to
it in. Yeah. Throw it in the bucket when you walk through the door. That's great. Well, you know, we're always grateful for these opportunities to chat, and to do it in person is even more fun. And I think, you know, just having that relationship that we formed over the years has been great. And I'm appreciative of it, and I want our listeners to know that whether they're in a state like New Mexico right next to Texas, or whether you're in Wisconsin where Bishop is, you can actually carpool with her. She took a transfer van down here because she's going to bring back 400 puppies because, you know, Texas is overrun with that.
Yeah.
So You can help her drive home next year with a bunch of kittens and puppies. How's that sound?
Yeah, we'll get right on that. You got my work?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah, there's when there's a will, there's a way. Last question, I guess, for you that I have is, if you could wave that magic wand over our industry, if you could say, let's fix this one thing, for you, what would it be?
The division that there is, that exists between, you know, the people that put themselves out, whether it's, you know, nonprofit versus government, whether it's open door versus selective admittance, you know, whether it's a governmental agency versus adoption group. I mean, there's all of these divisions that are there. And, you know, ultimately, those divisions are the things that get in the way of us being able to help more animals.
Because we have the same goal.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, I think what you actually touched on it a little bit ago about emotions. And I'm actually going to be talking about this tomorrow, about how emotions can overtake practical practices, right? Just looking at what our goal is, what we're here to do. And I think that's the most important part, is to help the community, whether it's maintain safe and health, because of animals can unfortunately be a safety or health risk. And then how do we care for the animals in a compassionate way that makes their life, whether it's with us or in the community, better? I mean, that's our goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's our goal.
Yeah. And that's one thing we've been talking about forever. Yeah. Keep it humane, Maine.
Keep it humane, Maine. Well, thank you. Thank you, Jamie.
Well, thank you all for having me. Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
I have no problem for that. Every year we'll be happy to host y'all. So.
You hear that? You hear that?
It's recorded.
It's on. We have that, the Animal Control Report. 50th year. We'll see you there, I guess. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back now from Texas.
Oh, my God. And I'm here. Stop.
I'm trying to get my Texas on.
You don't have a Texas.
A little bit off, sir. A little bit off.
I'm going to just keep trying, man.
No, please don't.
With your well, I guess we already introduced you. It's all one episode. We're here with January Dugan. Don't mess it up. I almost messed it up, people, and we don't want
he
that.
He always messes it up.
And she's with the Alamo Heights Animal Care Services here in the great state of Texas. Where the heck is Alamo Heights? Please tell me it's by the Alamo.
It is somewhat situated by the Alamo. It is in San Antonio. It's kind of one of the small suburbs.
Okay.
It has its own police department, animal control, and fire department.
And how long have you been doing animal control work?
Animal control in general, about 10 years.
Oh, good. Okay. And you're newer to that department?
Yes, sir. I've been there since August.
Don't call him, sir. He's going to get a big head.
It's the Texas manners. I can't help it.
She's so kind. She's so kind. She's over here washing my dishes right now.
I don't do dishes.
All right, people, that was a joke. So if you're listening, just know we're just kidding. That was just a joke.
Have you seen my nails? I do not.
Your
do
nails,
dishes.
Actually, I noticed these. These are fire. They're really nice looking nails. I will give you that. Do you know what fire means in Texas?
Yes, I have teenagers.
All right, cool. So if I say bro, you'll be fine.
Bruh is the new one.
Mm-hmm.
And chat. Chat is the newest. New.
How does that, use that in a sentence?
Is it
like,
sus?
Chat, have you seen this? It's very interesting.
Is it sus?
It's not sus anymore.
So when we talk about your career in animal services, 10 years, that's a long time. What is something that you've done? Chill, Bishop. It is. 10 years is a long time. The average life in...
I've been doing it 10 years too, so I'm like...
No, but if you think about the average lifespan in animal control, if you ran numbers, I bet you it's like 2 years.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And why is that?
Because of the burnout, because of the difficulty of the job, because of a lot of different things. But what has been your success, your key to success for, like, your just overall health and wellness while doing a job so difficult?
Well, I started in the rescue community, so I think I had
She's
a different
crazy.
Approach.
Oh, well, I mean.
I just think I have a different approach in general, and I kind of understand both sides. So a lot of the times, as an animal control officer, you get a certain vibe from the outside industry, and working from the rescue industry into animal control, I already know that speech, and I can relate to them a little bit better, I think. And I still have that rescue heart, and then I use my animal control mind for the legalities of things.
Okay.
I think in general too, it's very important to have self-care and have like team involvement. We're in a two-person team, but even in the larger teams, having that help from your peers really kind of keeps things a little bit more settled than if you're just the one person doing it all the time.
Yeah, like you, Bishop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to do for the next few weeks. But I'm
She's
gone.
About to have double surgery. They're going to give her a lobotomy.
Shut up.
Oh, they are working you know on what? Your face.
You know what? At least I have the brain required to have a lobotomy, so shut up.
Well, I don't know about you, but never
I'll
mind.
Kick
I don't
your
have
game.
I don't have a brain to answer that question.
I think too, because Alamo Heights is a very small city, that we can work with our surrounding communities, and that really helps too. Even though there's only two of us, if we have something like really big, we can call in San Antonio, and they're always helpful. And their surrounding communities, Terre Haute, etc. The police departments there help us too.
That's
nice.
Awesome.
Nice. It's. I'm a little jealous of that. I don't have anybody back. Well, no, I don't really have anybody back home that I can call on. They call on me.
You're the dependable one.
They've asked me to come teach them. So. And then there's Dan, who gets, you know.
I'm just falling asleep over here because, like, Bishop's just, her seeing her eyes in person just put, like, the very nurturing. And
I do just want to hug her.
I do. And it's like, you know, we often just talk via, well, now we do video for the most part, so you can see us on YouTube. But maybe because I'm in so much pain because I got hit by a dog. But that's a story for another day. If you
it
have,
was a hit and run, guys. It was a hit and run.
How did you get hit?
You'll find out in okay. class tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
Can't wait.
Yeah. It is
so
worth.
Excited.
It is worth listening to.
So... back to some of the ACO stuff. For you in your role and kind of just like in general, you're here at the TACA conference. Was this something that you like you wanted to do? Did your department ask you to do it? Like, how did that come up?
I actually petitioned our department. My partner has never been to a conference, and I hadn't been in over a year. The 2 years ago was the last one I attended. I think that it's really important to not only get the information, you know, I specifically signed up for legislation updates and such, but also to reach out to your surrounding communities and make friends with the different animal control officers there. And so Jennifer, who has only ever known animal control in Alamo Heights, is now able to kind of broaden her horizon and spread the wings with the peers here.
That's awesome.
Are you looking, like, what are you looking to get from here?
Me personally, yeah. I am excited about a couple of the different classes, and don't ask me which ones because they escape me in the moment, but... I am looking for more education. I really enjoy just learning all that I can about what we do and how better to do it. But I'm more interested in seeing Jen kind of learn how to network with our peers and learn what different departments do outside of our small city. We are very well taken care of. We have a very good community, and it's not so much the same in the other surrounding areas. So I think it's really good to have her see both sides of things.
I will say, even though I'm way far north, last year at TACA, I learned so much by sitting and talking to people that going back home, I was able to take so much back home just from that networking experience from an area that isn't even close to me. So if anybody out there has any opportunity to do any kind of networking with any kind of... conference or classes or anything like that, it is very, very worth it.
I think networking really drives this ability to stay in long term too, because when you come up against something you're not familiar with, if you know the people to call
yep.
that have experienced it, it just makes it so much easier.
I will put out there a quote that my grandmother gave me many, many years ago. It's not what you know, but it's who you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in these conferences, these trainings are absolutely where you're going to learn your who you know.
And as I kind of was sitting here thinking while you're talking and listening to what you're saying, it really resonated with me that no matter where you are in the country and probably the world for the most part, now you may face different types of scenarios, but the job itself is kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're, you know, in a truck patrolling for a stray dog or on your way to a cruelty investigation, our job is so similar and so unique to itself. Like, you can find somebody from Texas or you can find somebody from Wisconsin or wherever that can share experiences that can help you. We were sitting at the fake poker table. I had to say fake because I don't really like to gamble. And if it was real, I'd probably be crying right now because I lost all my money. I went all in on the first hand. It's fine. But I'm sitting there and, was just chatting with this guy, and he was telling me, you know, he had a year, several years in law enforcement, and then he moved over from like being a pretty much a detective to come into the animal services. He thought that it was something that he was more passionate about, which was really cool. And we were talking, and I asked him, I was just curious, because he was kind of asking too in the aspect of, he wanted to know, like, investigative wise, where he could find more stuff. Like he was fishing in that regard. And so I asked him, what is the most common call that you're seeing? And he said, horses. And so I just asked him, like, are you using the Henneke body condition scoring chart when you go out on those horse calls? And he was like, no. He was like, I've actually never heard of it. And so, like, that's that example of that networking, right? So he was able to take a look at that. I sent him the PDF, and then he can apply that and maybe look for specific training on it to feel more confident. And so, like, those little things, I think, go a long way from these conferences, mm-hmm. where you have people that are here just, they're trying to learn, and that's what's cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think in this industry, too, education is everything, and you never really stop learning because our job has such a different multifaceted that you have to kind of just be waiting for the next incident that could be something you've never dealt with, but it continues to change to go through them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, rapid fire.
Favorite animal?
Dogs.
Okay.
Truthfully.
Hey.
If you had to pick, would you keep a fish or a turtle?
A fish. Much cleaner.
Why are you looking at me like that?
That's just a weird question.
It's rapid fire.
We have fish tanks in our office.
Nice. that makes sense. They're calming.
This is rapid fire, so our listeners are like, what are they going to ask next? See if you can beat my obscure question.
Favorite food?
Sushi.
What kind of sushi?
San Antonio roll, if I have to get it from HEB.
Wait, what's a San Antonio roll?
So if you go to HEB...
Wait, what's an HEB? First off...
You went to HEB last year.
Is it a grocery store?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm gonna need you to visit an HEB,
good grief,
sir.
No, we went to a great...
It's a big thing.
We went there last year.
Okay.
Dan took me to one last
Obviously,
year.
We didn't go to the right one if he doesn't remember it.
Well,
What the heck are you talking about?
Sorry. Let's be honest, Dan doesn't remember a lot. So...
What are we doing right now?
Sushi. Which
yes.
kind of
sushi? Oh, yeah. What is the San Antonio roll?
I believe there's imitation crab, rice, seaweed, spicy mayo, eel sauce, and I think they have cucumber and masago.
There's got to be like a, there has to be like a rib or like pulled pork in there.
Not in sushi. Not in my sushi.
It's what Texas.
What kind of sushi are you eating?
So there is a Texas roll that has like steak.
Yeah,
in it,
see? I'm
but
not
I
joking.
Don't like
That's
that
just
one.
Not okay. That is not sushi.
It's like steak and jalapeno.
All
Please
right.
tell me it's cooked.
Yes.
Okay.
Favorite tattoo. What's your favorite tattoo?
So I actually have
cute.
Two.
This
is Panda and Freya. They're actually my personal dogs. And I did this for a rescue benefit. So it was $40 for a tattoo. And they did my personal dogs. And that was my favorite.
Oh.
Oh, I love that one.
My kid drew my dog, Dirt Dog.
I love that.
Somebody's mad at me right now saying all my tattoos. Last year I wouldn't get any and now I have too many. She drew Dirt Dog, but she misspelled his name and called him Drit Dog. But I had to get it accurate. And there she is, her little space bubble. Or
that is
what do you call that?
Super cute.
Thought bubble.
The thought bubble.
Thought
yep.
bubble.
That's super cute. I like that one.
And then she drew my daughter.
I would like to point out the fact that you have 7 tattoos, at least that I
at
know
least
about.
1, 2, 3, 4. I can't count.
So last year when we were doing this, Bishop was like, let's go get a tattoo. And I was like, nah, bro, I ain't doing that. And then midlife crisis kicked in, right? And so I was like, I'm just going to start getting tattoos. And let's go right now.
I'm in. Let's do
Where
it.
Where are we?
I got like 24, so.
I don't know. There's got to be a tattoo shop open until midnight.
There's absolutely a 24-hour tattoo
Charles,
shop
where are you? We need you. You got the hookup, man.
Okay, back to the show. This is how it happens when we're live, folks.
Oh, good grief. See, rapid fire is worse because now you're making me rapid fire.
Okay. You're redhead. Come on, rapid fire.
What the hell does that have to do with anything?
Fiery.
Oh, come on.
Man, it comes out.
I'm going to ask you another question.
Yeah,
please do.
If you could have coffee with anyone in the world, or tea, because tea is actually more popular in the world.
You're wrong, but it's okay.
It's the most consumed beverage.
We're not talking about it, but
it's the most consumed beverage. Who would you have it with?
That's a great question.
And I'll even make it easier for you. They can even be dead. So it could be dead or alive.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
I don't know if that makes it easier.
I'm not here.
And I'm gonna have a really sappy answer that's.
Aw, somebody that's like a family member.
Do you want me to kick him?
It's
I'll kick him.
So I learned animal control from Alan Spence. And
oh,
he passed away. And so I would love to sit down and just pick his brain a little bit more in depth. Uh-huh. And I would love to quote all these famous people, but I don't know what I would ask them.
Alan
but
Spence.
Alan had some really good stories.
Rest in peace, Alan. He was a cool dude, for sure.
He's a good dude.
If you could go, money's not a question. If you could go anywhere in the U.S. to do your job.
Ooh, to do my job?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's a good one. So my gut instinct is to stay in Montana, but I'm a little bit afraid of bears. So I actually think I would go to Hawaii. I really enjoyed, I actually was in Lahaina before the wildfires, and I really enjoyed like kind of watching all the stuff that went on there with the wildlife. And so I think that would be a good place for me.
There's a lot of chickens running around there.
there are a lot of chickens.
There's
a lot of iguanas and all kinds of fun stuff over there.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time. Do you have any questions for the show? Have you ever heard of the show before?
I have, but I'll be honest, I have not actually listened in, so I'm going to have to sign up for that now. I've heard of it several times.
Well, now you're going to have to
listen to it.
Love
listen.
It.
Well, we appreciate your time, and thank you for just being a guest on the show. Here live from the TACA 49th Annual Conference.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was great. Thanks.